Welcome to Church Online today, and a special welcome if you're with us for the first time or if you're watching it together with your church community. My name is Lynn, and I have the privilege of sharing with you today. Our Easter services were a time of joy as we gathered together both online as well as in person. Thank you to those of you who were a part of those services, including the many readers. And thank you to those who contacted us by text and email to show appreciation for the services. We really appreciate the encouragement. And thanks too to James, my silent partner. We did 27 takes last week in the one day, and that was a lot to put together, but it was a true joy to be able to meet together in that way. As we do each week, we light a candle here, and I invite you to do the same at home. It's a reminder that Christ is alive and present with us, and a tangible symbol of our gathering together. We worship together. For the love which from our birth over and around us lies, Christ our God, to you we raise this our sacrifice of praise.
Love which from above, over and around. Today's reading comes from John chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and sighed. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Have you ever missed an important meeting? One where you should have been, but you didn't know that beforehand, you didn't think it was important. And then afterwards you realised you've missed out. You've missed out on important stuff. It heightens your FOMO, the fear of missing out. But it's too late. What's done is done. You've missed the meeting. You know, I can remember the times in my life where that's happened. And dear Thomas, he's missed the meeting. We don't know why. We don't know where he was, but he certainly wasn't with the other disciples when Jesus appeared on that first day of the week after Easter. When he miraculously appeared to his fellow disciples behind a locked door, when Jesus showed up and showed them his wounds in his hands and in his side, proof that he had risen from the dead. And then when the other disciples excitedly told Thomas what they had seen, Thomas said the words that would label him forever, perhaps unfairly, perhaps fairly. He set his own conditions for faith, for belief. "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And hence, he's known as Doubting Thomas. You know, Peter isn't known as Denying Peter. And Mark isn't known as Runaway Naked Mark, but Thomas is always referred to as Doubting Thomas. You know, I'm grateful that I'm not known as Gets Her Words Muddled Lynn, and although that would be quite fair, and those of you who join us regularly know that. Or Shorty Lynn, also quite fair. Although I may be known as that in some quarters. But Thomas is somehow always known as Doubting Thomas. And I ask the question, is this fair? One could say that Thomas was a skeptic. He refuses to believe without direct personal experience, not unlike many of us, not unlike me. And he was mourning. No doubt deeply mourning the death of Jesus. They were all in mourning. Not surprising that they were behind locked doors in fear of the Jewish leaders. But Jesus came and stood among them with these words, "Peace be with you." the common Hebrew greeting, perhaps even more meaningful in this setting of fear and confusion and grief. In fact, Jesus said it twice. He pronounces peace to the confused disciples, and here they are a week later. This time, Thomas is with them. He's made the meeting. Once again, the doors are locked and Jesus appears. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." These beautiful words of proclamation, of comfort, of certainty amongst the fear. I imagine Jesus saying these words to us in an uncertain world, in a world where we see confusion and fear, a world where people are isolating, mostly not due to fear of the authorities, although for some that is the case, but fear of a virus. And for many of us, 2020 was a year of missing out, of being absent from the meeting, absent from church, absent from travel, absent from spending time with family interstate and overseas. 2020 was a year where FOMO was reality, and it continues in 2021. When we call Thomas Doubting Thomas, we somehow treat Thomas as the bright student who failed the test. It's a bit unkind. But Jesus didn't admonish Thomas. Instead, he said, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." He loves. He reassures. Just like to the disciples on that first time, he turns their confusion into friendship, their fear into trust. He meets Thomas where he is, where his conditions are, but despite his conditions, Thomas sees and believes. He doesn't need to put his finger where the nails were, his hand into his side. Instead, he says, "My Lord and my God." You know, Thomas is the first person in the book of John to look at Jesus of Nazareth and address him with the name God. And this is significant when we remember how John starts his account, starts his gospel. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And here, at the end of John's gospel, Thomas is addressing Jesus as God. Thomas is making a big leap of faith here, and he's not remembered for it at all. He's not called faith-filled Thomas or Thomas who recognized Jesus as God. And yet that's who he is, the disciple that recognized Jesus as God. There were doubts amongst the disciples. They doubted the account of Mary, her sharing of the good news. Was it because the account came from a woman? Or was it simply because they couldn't believe it could be true? I mean, how could it be true? This is outside their wildest dreams. Mary recognized Jesus in the garden when Jesus said her name. And last week I asked the question, do we recognize Jesus? Are we listening for our names? The other disciple who ran with Peter believed when he saw the empty tomb. Mary, when she heard her name, Thomas, when he saw Jesus. For each of them, this marked a new beginning in their relationship with God. You know, Jesus meets us where we're at, waits for us to recognize him, to recognize him at work in the world. Where are we in this story? When do we recognize Jesus? When do we recognize Jesus as God? You know, we can wrestle with doubts and God. God can take it. We can wrestle with doubts and the Bible. The Bible can take all our doubts, our questions, our scrutiny. This has been done for several thousand years. But I wonder if our doubts may be less about the existence of God or the resurrection of Christ, but rather about the possibility of forgiveness, or the reality of transformation. You know, I think we miss this so easily in the text when we're distracted by the doubts of Thomas and we miss the most important part, Jesus is risen, so therefore you are forgiven and you go forgive. You know, this is astonishing. And we also miss the gift of the Spirit and the articulation of the community's mission, both intimately and inseparably tied to the resurrection. As the disciples gather, Jesus speaks peace into their fear, and then there's the commissioning. Jesus promises a life shaped by joy, a life grounded with the gift of his presence, a life guided by the work of the Spirit. Just as Jesus is sent by the Father, so he sends the community. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. The church, the faith community, is to be a people shaped by the gift of the Spirit, and the mark of that gift is the power to forgive or to retain sins. This picture of the church's mission emerges by loving one another as Jesus loved. The faith community reveals God to the world. This is part of the church being the visible evidence that a better world is possible, the visible evidence of God's transforming love. You know, Easter Sunday was the day of transformation, of changed relationships, the day of resurrection, the day of recognition, the day of new opportunities and new beginnings. But it's not just for Easter Sunday, it's for every day. And that's confirmed in this passage. The definition of recognition is the identification of someone or a person from previous encounter or knowledge. And that is certainly the case for Thomas. He identifies Jesus from his previous encounters and knowledge of Jesus. The skeptic that he was, the doubts that he had, they disappear. He is now without a doubt. He is no longer doubting Thomas. Jesus lives. Not because he can walk through locked doors, but because he breathes new life into Thomas and into the disciples through the gift of the Spirit and commissions them to continue his work. And we are the future of his work, of that commission. We are a part of that commission to continue the work of Jesus, to continue the work of the disciples, to continue the work of Christians through the ages. So what does it take for us to recognize Jesus in our lives and Jesus at work in the world? Hear the words of Jesus. Peace be with you. The peace of God is with us in our believing and in our doubting. Inspired by Thomas, we recognize Jesus as God, and we continue the work of Jesus in our everyday lives. He sends us, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to share and to show the love of God for all. Amen. Thank you. As we pray together, I'm grateful to John Humphreys for his prayer that I've adapted today. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, in the shadow of Easter, Mary at the tomb didn't know you until you said her name. The disciples were afraid until you were amongst them, and Thomas couldn't believe until he saw you. Open up our eyes to your Easter way, that we might know deeper the meaning of your life and cross and resurrection. Gift us with Easter eyes, unblinded from our assumptions, unblinkered from our dogma of belief and religion, that we might look upon life in new and transformative ways, that we might see our mistakes and misunderstandings, that we might view the need for new forms of thinking and being, and begin to discern the path with which you are calling us to, that we might better Easter in the world, as we take up our discipleship once again and see ourselves as part of your mission and ministry of love, grace, and redemption. This we pray. We are mindful of those things that we do say and think that separate us from you. Now we confess them to you now. And thank you that these things and all our sins are forgiven through Jesus' death on the cross for each of us. And we pause to remember others in the world, to remember your world at this time. We pray for those areas where there is war and hunger and disaster, communities trying to rebuild following difficulties that they've undertaken, countries in struggle with COVID-19. So we pray for your world. Lord Jesus, we pray for our communities, the communities where we live, that we would be able to be agents of your love, your transforming love, wherever we are. And we continue to pray for the rollout of the vaccine in our nation and beyond. And Holy Spirit, as we do each week, we think of those people on our hearts today that are struggling with life, who don't feel recognized. We pray for them and for the many faces and names that are lifted to you right now. We pray for your grace, your love, your healing, and your transformation for each of them. We also bring you our gifts today, gifts given electronically, as well as practical gifts for the community share table and other places where we take food and other things for living for those who are doing it tough. And we pray that you'll use our gifts to bless the people in our world, those in the streets around us and those further afield. Thank you for the gift of prayer. Thank you for inviting us into prayer. We lift to you our prayers together in the name of Jesus. Amen. God goes before us, watches behind, and walks beside us everywhere we go.
One, two, three, four. Lord, we thank you for your presence in this place, for the way you have revealed your love and grace. And as we've taken time to listen for your word, we pray our lives will demonstrate we've heard. Take these feet, may they always follow. To those in need, take these lips, may they speak words of life and hope. Take these hearts, may we know you are everywhere we go. Lord, we thank you for your presence in this place, for the way you have revealed your love and grace. And as we've taken time to listen for your word, we pray our lives will demonstrate we've heard. Take these feet, may they always follow where you lead. Take these hands, may they reach out love to those in need. Take these lips, may they speak words of life and hope. Take these hearts, may we know you are everywhere we go. You go before, you watch behind, you walk beside us. You go before, you watch behind, you walk beside us. You go before, you watch behind, you walk everywhere we go.
What a joy to gather together in this way once again. If you would like prayer, if you could press the prayer button, if you're watching live, or send us an email, we would love to pray with you. And we gather again together next week, online as well as at our in-person services. Hear the words of Jesus. Peace be to you. Inspired by Thomas, we recognize Jesus in our lives and in our world, and empowered by the Holy Spirit, we share and show God's love everywhere we go. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship, friendship, and unity of the Holy Spirit be with you today and tomorrow, and remain with you always as you serve God's world. Amen. Blessings on your week.
Love to those in need. Take these lips, may they speak words of life and hope. Take these hearts, may we know you are everywhere we go. You go before, you watch behind, you walk beside.